This episode of the Ortho Bullets podcast will go over the topic of skin grafting from the hand section on orthobullets.com. A skin graft is an avascular graft and consists of partial thickness dermal tissue and full thickness dermal tissue. The donor site is most commonly autologous. The goals of treatment is to cover deep structures, create a barrier to bacteria, restore dynamic function of the limb, and prevent joint contractures. Again, the goals of skin grafting treatment include covering deep structures, creating a barrier to bacteria, restoring dynamic function of the limb, and preventing joint contractures. Indications for skin grafting include a well-perfused wound bed over muscle or subcutaneous tissue. Contraindications include wounds with exposed bone, tendon, nerves, or blood vessels. Now, let's go over split-thickness skin grafts and full-thickness skin grafts in a bit more detail. A split-thickness skin graft is indicated for well-perfused wound beds where contraction will not lead to decreased joint mobility or scar contracture. This is preferred for dorsal hand wounds. So again, a split-thickness skin graft is indicated for well-perfused wound beds where contraction will not lead to decreased joint mobility or scar contracture. These are preferred for dorsal hand wounds. As far as donor sites, the anterolateral thigh is the most common. As far as graft elements, these are variable based on thickness. They always contain keratinocytes. Thicker grafts contain more dermis with hair follicles and sweat glands and contract less. And nutrition is obtained by diffusion from the wound bed. As far as the technique for a split-thickness skin graft, let's talk about classification as well as meshed versus non-meshed grafts. So with respect to the classification, split-thickness skin grafts are broken down into thin, intermediate, and thick. Thin is defined as 0.005 to 0.012 inches. Intermediate is defined as 0.012 to 0.018 inches. And thick is defined as 0.018 to 0.03 inches. As far as meshed versus non-mesh grafts, meshed grafts provide a greater surface area. Mesh grafts have a lower incidence of hematoma formation and infection, leading to better quote-unquote take of the graft. As far as outcomes of split-thickness skin grafts, revascularization takes 2 to 3 days. Moving on to full-thickness skin grafts, this is indicated for volar hand wounds and fingertips. Again, full-thickness skin grafts are indicated for volar hand wounds and fingertips. Donor sites for full-thickness skin grafts include the proximal forearm and the hypothenar eminence of the hand. Again, donor sites for a full-thickness skin graft include the proximal forearm and the hypothenar eminence of the hand. As far as graft elements, full-thickness skin grafts contain full thickness of the dermis and epidermis containing hair follicles and sweat glands. Subcutaneous fat is not included because it decreases vascular ingrowth and survival. Nutrition is obtained by diffusion from the wound bed, just as in split-thickness skin grafts. As far as the technique for a full-thickness skin graft, make sure to apply the graft under gentle tension over a well-perfused wound bed. Place multiple tie-over sutures to decrease shear forces. The dressing should include a medicated gauze and moist cotton, and leave the dressing in place for 5 to 7 days. As far as outcomes, the pros of a full-thickness skin graft is that there is better reinnervation and sensation, less scar contracture, and it's more durable and wear-resistant to shear stresses. Cons include that hematomas and seromas can still cause failure. Revascularization takes 2 to 3 days. Other skin grafts to mention include an allograft and a xenograft. An allograft can be used as a temporary measure to prepare the wound bed for autograft. A xenograft is used occasionally as a biologic dressing. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over one question to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. A 67-year-old male has a soft tissue defect on the palmar aspect of the thenar eminence of his right hand following a resection of the mass. Which of the following is the most appropriate for achieving coverage of the defect? And the choices are 1. Vacuum-assisted wound closure only. 2. Flap coverage with full-thickness skin coverage. 3. Wet-to-dry dressings only. 4. Split-thickness skin coverage only. And 5. Flap coverage with meshed split-thickness skin coverage. The correct answer to this question is 2. Flap coverage with full-thickness skin coverage. So soft tissue defects of the palm are most appropriately treated with flap coverage, followed with full-thickness grafts. A flap is a unit of tissue supported by blood vessels and moved from a donor site to a recipient site to cover a defect in tissue. The patient in the question stem might have had full thickness coverage that was created from a posterior interosseous artery island flap. The skin of the dorsal hand is similar to that of the rest of the body and thus may be adequately replaced by split thickness skin grafts from the skin of most donor sites. In contrast, palmar hand skin differs from that of the dorsal hand in that 1. It lacks both hair and sebaceous glands, and 2. Has specialized encapsulated nerve endings, such as Meissner's corpuscles and Vader-Pacini corpuscles that confer enhanced sensation via mechanoreception. Full-thickness skin grafts transfer all of the skin appendages and nerve endings except those sweat glands located in the subcutaneous tissue and some of the Vader-Pacini corpuscles of the palmar and plantar skin. It is necessary to remove all fat and subcutaneous tissue from the undersurface of a full-thickness skin graft, as this will otherwise act as a barrier, preventing vascularization and graft survival. That's all for this review about skin grafting. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.